Welcome in to the Bearcast on Sikkim365.com, presented by WellMed Medical Management. Today, I'm here with Colt Barber. And Colt, we got an interesting topic that we're going to discuss today. It's all about the defense. It's all about Dave Aranda turning this defense around. We've seen multiple years of kind of this steady decline. Not really a decline, but just kind of like flattening, right? So you had the really bad year in 2023. You saw the dip in 2022. And then it just stayed more of the same in 2024. Yeah. Good news is the offense took a big jump, so it kind of masked that problem. But this year, you know, we've talked about a lot. It's on Dave Aranda now to make sure that this defense takes that step forward and develops the way that he envisions.
Yeah, and truly, like, Mac Rhodes has even talked about it, director of athletics. Like, he was hired to do defense. Like, that's what you're hired, that's what you're brought in for. And when you don't execute on that side of the ball, it's incredibly frustrating. As an athletic director who said, I'm banking on you to bring that here. And I think that there's been this transition period for Dave Aranda, understanding what he had personnel wise was not going to obviously match up what he had wise at LSU. There might have been some fool's gold in there because you had a 2021 team that was pretty loaded in terms of quality players. I mean, from the, you know, Terrell Bernard, Jalen Petrie, but also JT Woods, Kalen Barnes. Like, there's a group of guys there that were high-end athletes that were developed out of high school for multiple years. They go into their senior year, and actually a COVID year in some, like Jalen Petrie's case, but they have the ability to play and it executed at a high level. Now, the return to that is always been the question. How do you get back there, especially after you saw the fall off? Like, you saw strong defensive line play for some parts of 2022. Then you lose Siaki Ika, that obviously devastated your defensive line because you go into 2023 and you just get run over by everybody. So I think there's been this rebuilding process. What I will say about 2024 compared to 2023 is what they had disruptive stats in a lot of key areas. I mean, you talk about turnovers, you talk about tackles for loss, sacks. It all improved from 2023 to 2024. The issue was still explosive plays at times, getting off the field, really on fourth down. Third down defense was pretty good. Fourth down defense was a struggle. But you kind of saw the pieces going together, but you knew personnel was still an issue in some spots and what needed to be fixed. I really like the direction of this defense, but it goes back to Dave Aranda and what can he execute in doing. I think he made some offseason hires that can help that a ton, and I want to discuss those. But at the end of the day, Dave Aranda was brought in to coach the defensive side of the ball. He's made adjustments on offense in multiple occasions that have led to strong seasons. Now you have a Jake Spavital offense that is loaded coming back in 2025. And if this defense can perform, man, I don't want to say Big 12 title hopes are like through the roof, but if this defense takes a step forward, I don't know why you're not saying Baylor is a Big 12 favorite with everything they have returning on offense.
Oh, that's 100% the case. I mean, if this defense is a top 25 defense, then it would be really hard for them to not win the Big 12 because we know the offense is going to be really good. I think Jake Spavital has had a great offense pretty much everywhere he's been, but I mean, this year they're set up to be awesome. And so if the defense can play complementary football and take a step forward and improve, that would be huge. Now, you know, over the course of Baylor football in the last, you know, decade, when Baylor's had an elite offense, typically it hurts your defense and it definitely hurts the counting numbers for the defense. And I think some of that was the case last year, only some of it, not all of it, but Baylor was awesome on third down conversions, second in the Big 12. Baylor was awesome in red zone defense, second in the Big 12 there as well. The problem was just the consistently just giving up yards and giving up long drives. I mean, they're pretty much, you know, 9th, 10th, or 11th in just about every category outside of those two. And so it just comes down to, can they get off the field more consistently? Can they stop offenses from moving the football, getting in these fourth and one situations where it's easy to convert in those situations as well? I think all of that is kind of a big piece of the puzzle. But I think you mentioned last year's defense, and I think last year honestly was kind of that, you know, kind of this opportunity for Baylor to figure things out when it came to NIL through the transfer portal. They brought in guys who made an impact last year, but I don't think they necessarily, improved the defense drastically, right? I think they allowed it to be better than 2023, as we saw. Yeah. There was a jump there from being atrocious to being, middle of the road in the Big 12. But I think this year they've really honed in on it a little bit. I think development from guys who just weren't quite at the level they needed to be last year, I think that development's going to be seen big time this year. And then the transfers they brought in, I think, really accentuate those abilities, whether it's getting after the quarterback at a higher level, whether it's creating turnovers, whether it's being better in coverage. Like, all of those things need to improve. And I think they supplemented what they have and what they've been developing with really good transfer portal talent for the second year in a row. But I think this year it's even better.
Yeah. And I think you look at what they lost. Obviously, there's Garmin Randolph, Steve Linton, Elias Noel, who was ultimately the starter at nose tackle for the end of the season and played pretty well. I mean, I would say for what he was asked to do, he did a good job. Run defense was solid in a lot of situations. So you lose Matt Jones, you lose Lorando Johnson. Obviously, Devin Lemire is medically retiring, and Corey Gordon's gone. Like, they lost a lot. But at the same time, I'm like, I think you have to be pretty bullish because of what was put in place. Now, uncertainty with some injuries, Devin Turner, a transfer that's his status is up in the air after the end of the spring ball. How do the linebackers look? I know they're really excited about that room with Keaton Thomas leading the way, but they're still, you still kind of have to replace two guys there. And where do they go? How do they fit in? Star is still a question mark. But at the same time, I'm like, they still have a lot of guys that can play. And so that's what excites me. But it's, we don't really know. And it reminds me a lot of the 2018 to the 2019 offense. And you have a guy like Jalen Hurd, who, how critical did he feel in that 2018 season? He made a ton of plays, a lot of crucial plays. And then you lose him. It's like, okay, can you replace him? What do you do? And then in 2019, everybody kind of forgot about him. So can they do that with Steve Linton not being there, with Garmin Randolph not being there? Now, transfer wise, like, Steve Linton missed games. I mean, he missed time. He was suspended. He missed time late. He didn't play in the bowl game. And so, like, there's all of these, yes, they were there, but how big of an impact did they make across the entire season? If you can have a Steve Linton type impactful player that plays 13, 14 games rather than 8 games, does that make a difference? The BYU game, great example. If Steve Linton plays that game last year, do they win that game? Potentially. I mean, that could be a big difference maker in that game. So I'm with you. Like, you feel like they did a decent job in the portal last year, but I think this group can be a different level from consistency. You don't have guys that you just completely whiffed on because you needed to bring in numbers. You feel pretty good about all of the guys that you expect to make an impact in 2025 to come in and make an impact. Now, are all of them going to? No, but if 75% or more make an impact, an immediate impact, you're in a pretty good position.
Right. And I think, you look up front and you lose, some of the pieces you mentioned, including Trevin Mai, it's quite a few guys that you're losing up front. But I think the part that's so intriguing is you get to move Cooper Lands to a position that I think he's going to thrive at, being more of a defensive tackle, defensive end type. Jackie Marshall is another year improved. I mean, the expectation is that he's going to be an all Big 12 type player. Yeah. And then in the middle, you got Samu Taumanu-Pepe from Texas A&M, and then Tulane transfer Adonis Freeloo. And so you're building, right? You have kind of your core there. And then along with Devontae Tizino, who played a very big role last year and kind of was an unsung hero for the Bears at times last year. I mean, Brendan Bett didn't play last year and Tizino was hurt at the beginning of the year, so everyone kind of forgot about him, but towards the end of the year he played a big role. So I think they're building that depth. I think in general, though, the personnel, when you look at KT Thomas and his development, what that could be, another all Big 12 season potentially for him. They bring in all conference linebacker Travion Barnes, who we haven't really talked about because he wasn't there in the spring. He didn't compete in the spring. And so I think that is a big part of the equation, as well as how much more athletic did they get at linebacker with him and Phoenix Jackson, and their ability to get after the quarterback, their ability to be more athletic maybe than Matt Jones was, even though we sung Matt's praises all last year. He had a great year, but athletically he was a little limited. So I'm curious with this speed, if that maybe changes some things as well. And then of course you got Paul Gonzalez coming in to coach the cornerbacks. You bring in Calvin Simpson Hunt, and you're hoping that that group takes a big step forward, and that increases your ability to cover in space. That increases your ability to not give up big plays. And if Paul Gonzalez can really take that group and give them a big step forward, while also in general just, you know, trying to revamp Baylor's coverages, because that's going to be a big, you know, role for him this year. I think that's where you could see the big jumps, right? All of those different pieces, from personnel to changing up the scheme to getting a very experienced mind coaching the secondary. I think all of that could really swing things in Baylor's favor and really allow Dave Aranda to hone in on what he wants these guys to do, specifically in that front seven with the linebackers and how they're going to blitz and how they're going to attack the run. I think those are all areas that are very intriguing and should give people optimism, but also questions about, you know, how good is Dave Aranda going to be this year in that role? Because if he is elite in that role, like he has been in the past, then yeah, like you mentioned, the sky's kind of the limit for Baylor this year.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned Paul Gonzalez, and I want to talk on him. And it's a really fascinating situation. If you think about it, if you haven't thought about it, it's Gary Patterson was in Waco for a lot of the last off season leading up to the 2024 season, a lot of input. And then he's no longer with the program. I don't know how much he helped during the season, but it wasn't in an official capacity. But now you hire a guy that's Paul Gonzalez that spent several years and was truly one of the stalwarts of the TCU program dating back to Gary Patterson, even through the last few years under Sonny Dykes. And now he's in Waco, and you can't tell me that Gary Patterson did not have a hand in that happening. And I think that has to excite you, because what Dave Aranda wants to do, you mentioned it, he wants to handle linebackers up. That's what he wants to mess with. He wants his defense to be built around that. Well, Gary Patterson was a back end guy. Defensive back play was elite under him for how many years at TCU. You bring in a guy like Paul Gonzalez, that's Dave Aranda saying, I know my weakness, and I know that I want to change what my weakness is. I want to improve that. And by bringing in Gonzalez and giving him the passing game coordinator title as a cornerbacks coach is saying, hey, I need a title to get you here from TCU, but it's also saying, I want you to make us better. You've coached a lot of good defensive backs. You've coached a lot of good secondaries at safety and at cornerback. Come help us over here. And that's a huge testament to Dave Aranda. We can praise the offensive hires. We can praise guys that he's hired on defense at times. But this particular hire, to me, it blows away anything else he's done on the defensive side of the ball. Just from the reputation standpoint of Paul Gonzalez, but it also just says, I know what my weakness is, and I'm going to address it. That's a home run hire, and I think one that can have an immediate impact for this team.
It was absolutely a statement, and Paul Gonzalez has brought in two transfers at the cornerback position this offseason. So clearly he wasn't comfortable with what Baylor had in the room, felt like improving the talent, felt like bringing in more competition, which was absolutely needed. It's interesting to see kind of him recruit different body types than what we've seen in the past. And I think that's going to be an area that Baylor fans are kind of going to have to get a little bit more used to. Because Kevin Curtis really liked long, lanky, rangy cornerbacks. Paul Gonzalez will take guys like that, but he's also going to take the 5'10 guy that everyone's doubting, but is a really good athlete and a really good player. And I think that's kind of what you saw with Caldrell Wallaford, the prospect they brought in there. So, I mean, it's another addition. Calvin Simpson Hunt is 6 feet tall, like maybe 5'11", 6 feet. So different body types for different needs, I think, is what he's looking for. And I agree with you. I think there's a great opportunity for him to help this secondary take a big step forward and help Dave Aranda potentially put together the first elite defense since 2021. I think it's possible, likely, probably not, but possible.
Yeah. I think it goes, and I wrote about it in the article, but it goes back to Dave Aranda. And the best part about Dave Aranda is the self-reflection every single year. And it's him saying, what do we need to get better at? What do we need to do? After 2022, I think that you I think they missed the boat. I think that truly they missed the boat on what they needed to do in the transfer portal, what needed to be addressed after the 20, really after 21, 22. They started improving that, but this offseason was the first opportunity or the first time that we have seen it in full effect. You mentioned early transfer on the defense side of the ball. They really honed in on what they needed and they found it. I'm excited for Dave Aranda and his capability. But through this point, the last three seasons, 22, 23, 24, his defense has not been up to his standards. I'm excited to see kind of his fourth year of rebuilding this defense, where it's going to be in 2025.
Absolutely. The questions about development, the questions about, you know, Aranda having an elite defense, those have all been fair questions, you know, over the past few years. And now's an opportunity for, I think, it all to come together from an NIL standpoint, a transfer portal standpoint, a coaching staff standpoint, personnel. There are a lot of changes made that were maybe a little bit sneakier than I think people realize. And it gives Baylor a chance at a much higher ceiling in 2025 on the defensive side. That's it for today. We will be back later this week to talk about the offensive line. Colt and I will kind of dive into what the offensive line is trying to do this year, what they could bring, and could it be the best offense line in the Big 12. That'll be something that we will be discussing. Also, be sure to check out Sikkim 365 Premium. Colt actually wrote an article about Dave Aranda and what this season means for him as far as the defensive side goes. So be sure to check that out. We have all kinds of other news and notes and recruiting info on Sikkim 365 Premium as well. So be sure to check that out. We'll talk to you later. This has been the Bearcast on Sikkim365.com.